Creating jobs is job one.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. President Obama kicks off a big summit in Washington today. Economists, business leaders, and union officials are among those who will share ideas for tackling the unemployment issue in this country. Let's talk to Marketplace's Amy Scott, who's with us live at our bureau in New York. Hi, Amy.
Hi there.
So who's expected at this summit today?
Well, the CEOs of companies like Google and AT&T, we've got union bosses, mayors, academics, more than 100 people who will be brainstorming ideas for creating jobs.
Now, can we expect anything of substance to come out of this? Or Amy, is this just like a bunch of PR?
Well, critics have called it political theater. But I talked to John Coleman, who teaches economics at the Fuqua School of Business. He says there's nothing wrong with a little public relations right now.
The main concern right now about the U.S. economy is the fear of the future. And one role the president has to play is giving confidence to the people that the economy is on track and moving forward. A lot of that is PR.
Coleman, by the way, favors cutting the deficit and creating a more favorable business climate rather than more stimulus spending. But the president is likely to hear a lot of ideas today that call for more government spending.
And any specifics, Amy?
Well, the Wall Street Journal is reporting one idea. Princeton University economist Alan Blinder is expected to pitch a $60 billion program he says would put 2 million people to work cleaning parks and fixing roads. The AFL-CIO, meanwhile, is calling for a much bigger plan.
All right. Marketplace's New York Bureau Chief Amy Scott with us this morning. Amy, thanks.
You're welcome.
And Bank of America's reached a deal to pay back $45 billion in bailout money from the federal government. It's the first of seven companies to return what the government calls exceptional taxpayer-funded lifelines. Official news now, Comcast, the nation's largest cable company, will pay close to $14 billion for a majority share of NBC Universal. Comcast will share ownership of NBC Universal with General Electric. Investors seem to do a little buying, too. Markets are slightly higher in Europe right now. Asian shares were up today. The Nikkei shot up 4%, or close to it anyway, thanks to a weakening yen. Markets were mixed here at home yesterday. The S&P and NASDAQ were up slightly. The Dow lost about 18 points to close at 10,452. Like many cities, Pittsburgh faces a multi-million-dollar budget deficit. Mayor Luke Ravenstahl thinks he's found a good way to help erase it. A first-of-its-kind tax on tuition at colleges and universities in that city. From station WDUQ, Mark Neutbar has more.
As soon as the mayor introduced the tax, a firefight began, with Pittsburgh Council on Higher Education President Mary Hines calling it a poor choice.
The principle underneath the decision to tax students is a principle that we believe is incorrect, unjust, especially for the rationales that they provided in saying that the students should be taxed.
Enough votes have been gathered on the Pittsburgh City Council to pass the tax, including the vote of Councilwoman Tanya Payne, who says city taxpayers are already overburdened.
I would rather have a tax the students pay than taxing some 70-year-old couple.
Mayor Ravenstahl calls it the fair share tax, saying the students are using millions of dollars in city services every time they go out drinking and are not adding enough to the city coffers. In Pittsburgh, I'm Mark Neutbar for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Bank of America, which has begun a 10-year, $1.5 trillion investment in low to moderate income communities. And is distributed by American Public Media. For information about underwriting this or other APM programs such as Marketplace Money, visit AmericanPublicMedia.org.
Protests and marches today are marking the 25th anniversary of one of the worst industrial disasters ever to take place. A gas leak at the Union Carbide plant in Bhopal, India, killed thousands of people, and the effects are still being felt there. We're going to bring in Mehul Srivastava, a reporter at Businessweek based in Delhi. Hi, Mehul.
Hello.
What exactly happened?
Well, in December 1984, sometime around midnight, a Union Carbide plant released about 40 metric tons of this chemical called methyl isocyanate. It's poisonous. By the morning, about 4,000 people were dead. In the 15, 20 years after that, another 20 or 30,000 people have died. It's not exactly clear what the estimates are. And the government says about 500,000 survivors are affected. The problem, of course, is that it's not quite clear what caused the leak. Union Carbide said it was a disgruntled employee. The Indian government said it was lax safety standards.
And many protesters, Mehul, say that that gas is still there, that it's still a dangerous area. What's the situation right now?
I mean, almost every environmental group that's ever tested the ground over there says the groundwater, the soil, the buildings, they're all contaminated. So what's resulted is that people who still live in these areas, they still, 25 years down the line, there's children born with birth defects, there's women with reproductive disorders, there's cancers.
So legally, I mean, who's responsible? Is there anything else that can be done?
You've entered the contentious part of the issue here. Dow Chemicals bought out Union Carbide about 9 or 10 years ago, and Union Carbide had paid $470 million in 1989 to the Indian government. As far as Dow Chemicals is concerned, that's that. Everything was settled. But with the amount of people who were killed, that's not a lot of money. And then the government has never actually done a cleanup. The private sector has never done a cleanup. So we have about a quarter of the people in the city of Bhopal in central India who live in an area that's essentially a chemical dump.
And the future, I mean, how do they move on from here?
You know, I've visited Bhopal, and I can tell you that it's a pretty tragic situation. These people are caught between this nexus of government and foreign investment and a powerful multinational company and complicated laws. So it's highly unlikely that 25 years down the line anything's going to change when the 10th year anniversary or the 20th anniversary didn't change anything either.
All right. Mehul Srivastava is a reporter at Business Week based in Delhi. Mehul, thank you.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And finally, there's a concert next week where they'll be a little more forgiving about having your cell phone on. A class at the University of Michigan has been teaching students how to make iPhones into musical instruments, applications producing sounds from the touchpad or blowing into the microphone, even shaking the phone. The Mobile Phone Ensemble performs December 9th, and if somebody calls in the middle of it, well, all the better. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.